This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And this week we're talking about quince or quinces.
Yeah. Quince. Quince.
The plural is also quince?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
I guess it is. I usually say quince as though quince is the plural. Like, I wouldn't say, and today we're talking about apple.
That's true.
Right?
Well, I mean, if we became a tech podcast and we were reporting on, like, the new iPad, what does it do that the old iPad couldn't do?
Oh, yeah, there is a new iPad, isn't there?
Yes, it's very exciting. I don't know anything about it.
Cool. Okay. Well, anyway, today we're talking about quinces.
Yeah, speaking of things I don't know anything about, let me start with one question for you. What the fuck is a quince? I literally have no idea. And
are you serious?
I'm serious. You suggested this topic. I'm like, okay, I know that's a food. You're going to do the research. I'm just going to let you teach me what this is.
Oh my God, I love that you waited to tell me this until we were actually recording.
Oh, I'm so glad because I'm like, either Molly is going to love or hate this bit.
Oh my God, wait a minute. You've never eaten quince?
I think I've eaten quince paste on a cheese plate, and I learned about the existence of quince from the movie White Men Can't Jump. This is now memory lane. There was a period in my life when I watched the movie White Men Can't Jump like 17 times because it was always on basic cable. I thought it was a very funny movie. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I think it's a good movie. And there's a part in the movie where Rosie Perez is studying to get on Jeopardy. You know, when I was watching this, I had no idea that someday that would be me, that I would be Rosie Perez. And in the course of, you know, she's studying with Woody Harrelson and he's quizzing her, just like when we went to Oklahoma and you and Abby were quizzing me. Mm-hmm. And one of the facts she learns is that a quince is a fruit that might have been the fruit in the Garden of Eden. And then when she's on Jeopardy, that comes up and she gets it right and she wins.
Wow. Okay. This is how you learned about quince.
This is how I learned about quince. And that is now everything I know about quince.
Oh, interesting.
That's not true. I've seen a quince. I think it sort of looks like a pear, but you don't eat it like a pear, maybe.
Okay. Well, thank goodness I'm here.
I say that every week.
So, okay, time for my memory lane.
Okay.
I think I learned about quince in the form of quince paste, which is the only form you say you've eaten it in. Is that right?
Yes. And I couldn't tell you, like, what it tastes like based on that. This might have happened once back when I would go to the kind of restaurant that would have a cheese plate.
Okay. Well, so when I was in college, I used to work during the summers at a Whole Foods market in Mill Valley, California. Shout out to the Mill Valley Whole Foods.
Shout out to the Mill Valley Film Festival.
So the first year that I worked there, the guy who was essentially my boss, so I was working at the cheese counter, and the guy who was essentially my boss had spent many years living in Spain. So he taught me a lot about Spanish cheeses, And gosh, I mean, I remember that guy very well, actually. I think that working in the cheese section at Whole Foods was really...
formative?
It was really formative. Like, I loved
really,
that
it was
job.
Really form-dumb-bear-ative.
Yeah, nice job. Mm-hmm. I like form-dumb-bear a lot.
Oh, yeah. I think we had it on a cheese plate, on the cheese plate episode. It was
really
great.
Really nice,
yeah.
Creamy blue cheese. All right. So I think this guy's name was Clark. He was a really good manager, and he taught me about this thing called membrillo, or quince paste, sometimes referred to, I think, as quince cheese, but
yeah,
that kind of grosses me out.
Saw that on the agenda. Yeah, I don't like that.
I wonder if that's a Britishism.
Could be. British listeners,
let us know.
Quince cheese, is this a thing you say a lot?
Anyway, so Clark, I remember, taught me about pairing membrillo, or quince paste, with Manchego cheese.
I mean, that sounds good because Manchego cheese is good.
Yeah. So, yeah, the salty sheep's milk cheese with this sort of tangy, but not too tangy, sort of jammy. So the thing about quince, what I think of when I think of quince is first and foremost the fragrance of it. It has such an incredible fragrance. And we're talking
just the fruit
itself.
Oh, this is your opportunity to put an aroma into words, since I have no idea what a quince smells like.
Wow. It is a deeply
upsetting,
fuming fruit smell. Like, okay, you know how when you cook apples, like the mm-hmm. smell is just, like if you're cooking applesauce or an apple pie or something, the smell fills your house and it is this deeply like evocative, it's more than just a fruity smell. There's like a perfume to it.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I have actually had an apple.
Matthew, you are driving me nuts, and we're only like 5 minutes into this show.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just to push my luck. Did you ever see Clark and Superman in the same place?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, I think we just solved that.
Okay. Anyway, okay. You know what? Let's just get on with this.
Let's just try and get on with this.
Okay. So I think that was how I first learned about quince. And then I remember when my first book came out, my editor, I think I was on book tour in New York. I think this was when this happened. My editor took me out to dinner. She took me out to a fancy dinner. We went to Blue Hill.
Oh, nice.
This was like a decade ago at least. And I remember for dessert, she ordered something that involved like this perfectly cubed quince. Anyway, I was so intimidated by her. She was a quite intimidating, sort of a patrician figure. So I think of quince as this sophisticated food, which is why you've never had it, Matthew. Obviously.
Oh yeah, this makes sense now.
Yeah, okay. But let's get on with it. Let's get on to like what this is, and while I'm talking about what it is, I'm going to keep thinking in the back of my mind about how to describe the fragrance more accurately.
Okay.
All right, so quince is related to apples and pears. It's in the family Rosaceae. Did I say that right?
Rosaceae.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's not as fun as what I said.
I know. I mean, but rosacea is a like skin rash,
that's true.
Rash, right?
In fact, I was diagnosed with rosacea once, but like I never treated it, and now I don't have rosacea.
So it resolved on its own?
Yeah.
Okay, but now you have a fruit in the rose family. That's a big family.
It is a really big family because, yeah, rose plants are in it as well, right? Like the actual flowering rose.
Yes.
Right?
And pears, apples,
mm-hmm.
I want to say peaches and plums also.
Really? But they have pits.
Yeah, it includes many edible fruits such as apples, pears, quinces, apricots, plums, cherries, peaches, raspberries, loquats, strawberries, and almonds.
Oh, this is
really big family.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, well, quince is the only member of its genus within this family, which is Cydonia.
Do you know the song? I'm going to interrupt with a very important thing again. Do you know the song Knights of Cydonia by Muse?
No. Is this real?
This is real, and it's a catchy song, and I don't know what Cydonia means. I thought it was just like a cool-sounding word they made up, but maybe it's quince-related.
I think they're really into quince.
I think so.
Okay, well, anyways.
Not enough quince rock.
There is not enough. Is there much apple rock, though?
Oh, I'm going to be. Well, I mean, there was Apple Records, the Beatles label.
Oh, that's true.
So, yes. And I'm going to try and think of a song with apples in it before the end of the show.
Well, there's Fiona Apple.
There's Fiona Apple. That's Apple Rock.
That's true. Okay. Anyway, so quince is a deciduous tree, and it bears a pome fruit.
There's Chris Martin of Coldplay's daughter, okay. Apple.
So a pome is a fruit. I always think of an apple when I think of a pome. Well, for one thing, pomme in French is apple.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, it's like got these seeds that have like a special type of, it's like carapace? No.
like a lobster has?
Yeah. Apples and quinces have a carapace.
Yeah. Little known fact, lobsters also in the rosaceae family.
Okay. Anyway, so this fruit is green and it's covered with this fine, like downy hair, like this whitish hair when it's immature.
Oh, so it's like a pear that thinks it's a peach.
It kind of. But the hair is even more noticeable somehow than peach fuzz. Like,
oh,
if you're walking down
like
the street.
That.
So we have you will notice that there are quinces in Seattle. If you walk around and you look at fruiting trees and you see one that looks
really?
Like. Yes.
Wow. No, I didn't know this at all.
Yes, absolutely. You will notice it. But it looks sort of like an apple, sort of like a pear, but it is covered in like white fuzz.
I can't believe I never noticed this. It sounds striking and disturbing.
Most of the fuzz rubs off before maturity.
As
the fruit changes to a bright golden yellow color. And kind of like apples, well, and very much like apples, the seeds are toxic if they're eaten in large quantities. And, you know, the reason that I actually often notice quince trees in Seattle is that they're frequently grown for their pink blossoms, which are this kind of beautiful, like salmon pink often.
Okay. Now I'm going to look up what a quince tree looks like and try and spot one in my neighborhood.
Yeah. So the modern name, this is an old fruit, all right?
Okay.
The modern name originated in the 1300s as the plural of coin, which came from Old French, which came from Latin, which came from Greek.
Okay. That sounds like what a linguist would say if they didn't know the answer to something.
Well, like, Matthew, don't put such a fine point on it.
Yeah. It's from the 14th century. It came from the Latin, from the old German, from the Greek, from the Indo-European, from... You know.
The plant is native to Western Asia. So, you know, like Azerbaijan, Turkey, Northern Iran, etc. And in fact, actually, Turkey is the world's largest producer of quince. China's right up there, too.
Okay.
But anyway, it's been grown like as far back as 2000 BC. In this region, in like Mesopotamia.
We're going to get to like how you eat these at some point.
Yeah, we're going
to get
there. Okay, we're going to get there.
No rush.
But anyway, what I find interesting about it is that it's interesting to me that at least in, I think in like mainstream American cooking, the quince is pretty rare. Like it's kind of a rarefied thing you buy at the farmer's market.
Yeah, I think
right?
It's like on par with gooseberries.
Yes. But like it thrives in tons of climates. Like it can be grown like all the way from like Afghanistan into like colder regions like Scotland, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of weird to me that it hasn't taken off more.
You know what I think that this is analogous to maybe in my own diet and cooking? It's not a perfect analogy by any means because like Mexican cuisine has had a much greater effect on American cuisine than like Spanish and Western Asia has. But tomatillos. I buy tomatillos
yes.
all the time. I cook with tomatillos all the time. It's one of my favorite things, and I think probably many of our listeners have never bought a tomatillo, have maybe never consciously eaten a tomatillo, but or like didn't know that that's what's in a green salsa, and would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I wonder if the issue is that both of these fruits, the tomatillo and the quince, pretty much need to be cooked before you can consume.
True. Whereas, you can make a raw tomatillo salsa, but it's not as good as a roasted tomatillo salsa, in
yeah,
my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think of it as something that you want to cook. And so I wonder if, you know, by and large, we think of fruit as this thing that you eat raw out of hand.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I mean, quince certainly, I think, is like prized by dessert, you know, pastry chefs, etc. It is so fragrant and so special.
Okay.
Let's get down to it, Matthew.
let's do.
Okay. So the season for these things is short. It's fall, okay? And apparently in warm climates, these things get soft enough to like be edible right off the tree, but not around here, not in any place I've ever seen them. So you generally buy them if you see them at the farmer's market, or maybe you have a really great grocery store that has some quince, you will probably notice a range
I'm going to ask wife of the show, Lori, to add a quince to our next QFC grocery order, see how that goes.
Do it. You'll notice that they range in color from green to more like bright yellow. The brightest yellow is going to be the most ripe. You'll also notice they're crazy fragrant. Like, I have been out of the habit of going to the farmer's market for like years, and instead have been doing CSA and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I remember times when like I've just bought one or two quinces at the farmer's market just to put it like in the middle of the kitchen table and like smell it.
Oh.
They're so that fragrant.
Like a still life, but not painted.
And in fact, it looks like it should be in a still life.
Yeah,
because
I know what you mean.
It's kind of the shape of a pear, but like kind of more plump than that, the way an apple is. And mm-hmm. the bottom of it, the blossom end, right, usually has a kind of like bumps to it. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of looks like it should stand on those bumps.
Would you say it's shaped more like a Comice pear than a Bartlett pear?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I absolutely would.
So proud of myself right now.
Way to go. Anyway, the smell is like, I can't even say enough. They smell so good. But here's the deal. When you're done sniffing it, you want to peel it. You want to, you know, peel it.
Once you're done sniffing it, I like that.
And then you want to cook it. All right. So what I have done is mostly like either poach them. There are a lot of recipes out there for poached quince.
That makes sense, I think.
Or you can like kind of bake them again with some liquid. They are so incredibly dense. Like when you cut into it, it's like the flesh looks like an apple, but getting a knife through it is much more, you'll find much more resistance than an apple. They're hard and dense.
Can we go back to something real quick? You mentioned that the season is short, but I don't know if I caught what the season is.
Oh, it's fall.
Fall, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're coming into quince season now.
I mean, it might be like late summer. I'm actually not sure. You know, it's kind of like, I think of apples. You know, truly, most apples are harvested far before we eat them, right?
Right.
But quince, I don't think, is a storage fruit like apple.
Okay. I might go down to the farmer's market on Sunday and see if I can, like, follow my nose to the quince section.
Will you just look up really quick quince, you know, season for quince or...
Season for quince.
It's my new book.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, look it up in, like on the Seattle Farmers Market website.
I'm sorry, you did not mention that the scientific name is Cydonia oblonga.
Oh, I think I didn't care.
That upsets me because, like, we count on you to care about funny scientific names.
Yeah, whatever.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And for that, I turn to Jessie Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15. Seek them out at your locals farmer market from around the end of October when the quince season begins.
Yes, here we go, guys. So this episode is airing on October 15th.
This may be our timeliest episode ever. Normally we'd be like, okay, it's December 28th and you missed quince season, but here we are.
Well, like I think of going to the farmer's market and it's kind of cold outside and coming back with some quince that makes my house smell like I've been like baking something delicious, but you don't even have to bake anything to smell
it. Maybe you're wearing a couple of sweaters.
Yes, probably wearing a couple sweaters. That's what's making me smell so nice. Anyway, okay, no, but what I was going to say is, so here's something that's really cool about quince is that when you cook it with sugar, the flesh of the fruit turns reddish, like a kind of a rosy kind of blush color.
Oh.
So it's very, very pretty. The flesh is white when you cut into it, but as it cooks with sugar, kind of like how apple turns sort of an amber color or kind of a not unattractive.
Yeah, amber is the color of their energy.
What's that from?
It's a 311 song, I think.
Okay. Anyway, Matthew. But here's another interesting thing. So they're really high in pectin. So a lot of people use them for jams and jellies and marmalades.
Okay.
And the term marmalade originally referred to quince jam because it derives from the word marmelo or marmalo, the Portuguese word for quince.
Oh, so it's like marmelo in Portuguese and membrillo in Spanish.
Seems that way. Yes.
It's funny, although not very funny, that the word quince is like a false cognate of a Spanish word, but that the Spanish word for quince is completely different. Because like quince is 15 in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Spelled exactly that way.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
But again, not very
interesting.
It's the
15th fruit. If we were quince smugglers and we needed to refer to like the quinces that we were, our quince contraband, we would just like write 15 and know what we meant.
Yes.
God, I want to be a spy.
Well, didn't you do this as like a kid or a middle schooler or something?
Yes, as
like
a kid, I was a spy. I teamed up with Dabney Coleman.
No, I used to pretend I was Harriet the Spy. I've talked about this on the show, the way that we would spy on the neighbor lady.
Oh, yeah, you should not do that.
No, but, you shouldn't
but
do
I
it.
But I totally get it. I was really into codes. I like books about codes, and I would like make ciphers and stuff.
I have done that a little bit with June. I don't think I did it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, instead, a friend and I had an elaborate like code language like for referring to certain people. Like boys that we had crushes on, or we had like specific names for our parents that were in code.
Oh, I
and
love
we would,
this.
We would write entire stories, like funny stories. Like,
do you remember any of the code words?
I remember that we referred to my dad as Overcoat because...
No, I don't think you even need to explain. It's perfect.
Let's see. God, we had different code names
Overcoat
for...
Overcoat is on the move. Quick.
We had different code names for every boy we liked, and I am struggling. There were so many of them.
Like, of course.
I mean, just like the crushes in middle school just proliferated exponentially.
Oh, yeah. No. I totally remember like in middle school, I liked every girl, basically.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked all the boys. And oh, I do remember one. So I think I've talked before on this podcast about how I had a crush on a guy named Chris Stakem.
Oh, yes. You've definitely mentioned that.
Yeah. He was a year above me. I specifically had a crush on him in sixth grade. This was 30 years ago. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So he was in seventh grade. And I remember we referred to him as well done. Get it?
Because of steak.
Gum. Yeah. Get it? Well done.
I like well done, Molly. Well
thank
done.
Thank you. Thanks. No, we had other ones because like, so my friend Jen, who I used to do this with, yeah, she went to a different school and she had all these crushes at her school, but I knew the names of them because I had seen them all in the yearbook.
Sure.
God, I can't remember.
Did you ever have walkie-talkies as a kid?
No.
I had like some shitty like toy store walkie-talkies that never worked well, but I wanted the kind where like your friend could be across the street at their own house and walkie-talkieing you.
Yeah, we have some walkie-talkies like that for June.
And, oh.
Well, they look like shitty toy store walkie-talkies, but she can actually get like a quarter mile away.
I imagine like the transmitter receive the transceiver technology must have improved enormously since the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So no, but I didn't. That didn't occur to me till just now that like toy store walkie talkies are probably pretty damn good at this point.
Yeah. When she was maybe six, we started letting her walk to my mom's house alone, mm-hmm. which is like a block away, and then I think sometime in the last year we let her try out walking to there's a like a entrance down to a like a beach in mm-hmm. our like maybe like a quarter mile from our house. And we have let her walk down to the beach with the walkie-talkie. And
nice.
She has been able to talk to us from the gate down to the beach.
That is so cool.
Pretty cool, right? I mean, it is pretty awesome to be 8 years old.
Do you use walkie-talkie lingo like over and 10-4 and Roger and stuff?
We're not there yet because okay. she still struggles to be able to like
press,
remember that she has to
thing.
Hold the yes. button down
that,
while she's talking.
That was so hard as a young kid. Like,
oh my
the
God.
Coordination there was almost impossible. I remember I couldn't do this, and I remember Iris couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, pretty much talking to June on the walkie-talkie is like, it's like that.
Oh, wow. She's just practicing for later when she can say, oh, sorry, you're breaking up. Like,
yep.
I'm going into the tunnel. Sorry. We'll yep. Talk to you later. I'm going to go do terrible things.
Yeah, just like that. Anyway, okay, but hold on. Matthew, so you've never cooked with Quince?
Nope.
Okay. All right, well, you can also... Okay, so hold on. I'm not done, Matthew.
No.
Poached Quince is seriously delicious. It takes longer to cook than you can possibly imagine. It's
okay,
just...
so I'm going to guess, based on that, 3 days.
No, nothing like that.
Two hours.
I can't remember. I think that David Leibovitz has a recipe for poached mm-hmm. quince. Do you want to look it up? See how long it cooks? As I recall, it's one of those kind of recipes where he has you cut a piece of parchment to fit inside the saucepan and like cover the surface of the liquid, the
oh,
poaching
yeah.
liquid. Why do people have you do that? Minimize evaporation?
Yeah,
why not
it's
just
to,
put
it's
a lid on it?
To minimize evaporation. Like, I don't really know what the difference between that and a lid. This is something that is also often called for in Japanese recipes. It's a substitute for a drop lid that's like a wooden lid that would go directly on the surface of the food. I don't know. This is a job for a food scientist.
Oh, that's not what we are.
I've got David Leibovitz's rosy poached quince.
There
Please
we go.
Hold
I've made that.
For the cooking time. Oh, wow. There's a picture of a quince. It does look like a chubby pear.
Yeah, aren't they so cute?
Yeah. Simmer the quince for at least an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, 3 days is at least an hour.
Yeah, the 3 days was a great guess. So, yeah, I've made that recipe. We can link to it. David Leibovitz's rosy poached quince. I think I've also made a tarte tatin that used quince.
Oh, that makes sense. I don't think I've made a tarte tatin ever, but I've eaten it.
Making an apple tarte tatin is quite easy if you're comfortable making a caramel.
Oh, I am.
It's a caramel that's got butter in it, so it's also more forgiving than just like a sugar caramel or a sugar and water caramel.
I think we did a caramel episode. I am comfortable doing just a pure sugar caramel. It's
wow.
like it's one of the few like difficult kitchen things that I feel like I can handle.
You are awesome. Well, I think that you should try a tarte tatin because it is way simpler than that. And I make mine. I sound like I do this all the time, but I've probably made a tarte tatin like a dozen times.
Okay.
And I have used store-bought puff pastry for it, and I really that. I like.
Why
that
don't you
a lot.
Bring one over when you come to pick up your paycheck on the first?
Probably not.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to talk about some of this quince cultural trivia?
I am.
Okay,
I
good.
Am. So, all right. So the book of Genesis does not name the specific type of fruit that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm. But it's some, probably a tomatillo.
It's probably a tomatillo. Some ancient texts suggest that it might have been a quince.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, if it's as fragrant as you claim, then it would like draw them from far away, and it would be hard to ignore.
It would also be really hard to bite into, though. I mean, yeah. Unless it was, maybe it was very warm in the Garden of Eden. Probably was. They were naked. So yeah, it had to have been
that,
quite
that
warm.
That definitely would have warmed things up.
And maybe the fruit, you know, became fully ripe and soft on the tree. And
yeah,
so,
it did.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So ancient Greek poets, for example, Aristophanes, used quinces as a mildly ribald term for teenage breasts.
Okay. Those goofballs.
Oh, so silly. Okay, and then, so Matthew, I think you're maybe more familiar with The Simpsons than me. Do you want to read this one?
In The Simpsons episode, Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 1, I do kind of remember that episode. I know I've seen it. Homer sends Mr. Burns a box of chocolates with a family photo at the bottom. Burns and Smithers eschew the sour quince log, leaving Homer's face obscured in the photo.
Harsh.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like there's got to be some sort of, I feel like there should be some sort of slang that's based on that.
Oh, like you got quinced out.
Yeah, you got quinced out or you got quince logged.
Yep, or like I'm just going to quince over this issue.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just like that.
There's so many quince-related expressions that have made their way into English. Like, where do we even begin?
You know, I wonder
calling
where
it quince, for example.
I wonder where the name Quincy came from.
Oh, like Quincy MD.
Like Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
John Quincy Adams.
Mm-hmm. All MDs.
Yep. There have got to be some other
Quincy Jones, musical doctor.
Yes. There have got to be some other Quincys out there.
Yeah, I think there probably are. I can't think of any others either. But yeah, do you think it is related to the fruit?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. This has been such a...
It's like if you look it up in like a, you know, what does my name mean? Like baby name dictionary, it'll just say like a very fragrant person.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. did you know that Molly apparently, like in Hebrew or something, means bitter?
Every time I hear like a, you know, what does your name mean definition, it always sounds like bullshit to me.
It does to me too.
Like I know some of these have you know, real meanings in some language, but like the way it's always phrased, like with such conviction, like in a baby name book, just sounds like, well, we had to come up with a meaning for all of these names, probably some of which really don't have meanings, and we're just going to go for it.
I wonder what Matthew means.
So I was told that it means gift from God, but who knows?
That is how I think of you.
Yeah, and I think of you as
bitter.
Great. Molly means great. Really good. Means really good co-host.
Okay. All right.
It's from the Serbo-Croatian for Queen of Podcast.
Wow. Okay. I'll take it. I will take it. Not gonna second guess this. Nope.
I feel like if we could make like a fake baby name dictionary and sell it at like Urban Outfitters or like the Hudson News or something.
Let's like, do it. This sounds
really
like...
really like lowest common denominator humor, so we wouldn't have to work too hard on it.
This sounds like a really fun way to stay busy during winter 2020.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to work on this.
All right. Well, we've got to let our agent know. We've got hot book coming down the pike.
That's right. I forgot. I do technically still have a literary agent.
You do. You do. Yep. Yep.
Great. I'll make use of that.
Okay.
All right. So you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. I believe we're deleting our Facebook presence.
We are. We are. So long, Facebook. You're the worst.
Yep. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Please rate and review the show wherever you get it. Thank you so much to everyone who subscribed during our recent pledge drive. It's going great. I think I'm not sure as of now, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to hit the point where Molly is going to have to teach me to drive. And like,
I love that, like, if someone hasn't listened to the Pledge Drive episode and they just hear this out of context, they're going to be like, wow, so Matthew's going to have to be able to drive to tape the show from now on.
That's right. For now on, I'm taping the show in, I mean, I don't have a car, so it'll be in your car.
I can't wait to teach you to drive in my car.
Yeah, aren't you worried about what I might do to your car?
I'm not. I mean, you've driven before. You just haven't driven for like almost a decade. It's fine.
I'm probably okay.
Yeah, and anyway, we need to find a really big parking lot.
We do.
I learned to drive in a church parking lot in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You know, there's a pretty big parking lot in a church parking lot.
Okay, let's do it. I think I learned to drive, like, at least in part in, when would this have been? Maybe the Jewish Community Center parking lot in Southwest Portland. That definitely feels familiar. And that was a big parking lot.
Surely we can find a big parking lot between our two residences so you don't have to schlep all the way over to my house.
Well, I mean, yeah, who knows when we'll be able to do this anyway.
Oh, that's right. We have to be in a car together. Shoot. Yeah. God. Okay, fine.
All right. So, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that's so fragrant, you can smell us from the next room.
Well, wait. Is the show playing in the next room and you can't hear us necessarily, but you can smell us?
Yes.
Okay, I'll buy that.
We're like Quince. I mean, you can't hear Quince in the next room, but you might be able to smell it.
All right. I'm Quincy.
I'm Quincy. Yo.
Yo, yo.
Yo.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.